This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Debbie Bogle in studios with us here today, as she regularly comes in on Thursdays to give us an update on the United Way or talk about Prince or whatever. How you doing?
I'm good. I watched the We Are the World documentary.
Okay.
Or was it One Night in Pop or something like that?
Yes.
That was so good. I mean, I'll probably watch it again, but it was kind of crazy. Did you watch it, Nick?
Yes.
Biggest Night in Pop? What's it called?
I don't know.
I think The Greatest Night.
Okay, anyway.
Something like that, yeah. And but it was just kind of crazy to, because you see the video and everybody's happy and doing all this, and you realize that, you know, they didn't even start singing this song until, you know, after the award ceremony. And I mean, it was just crazy. It was really cool to see how that all came about, and you know, watching them the night of, their frustration, their egos, they're tired, they're cranky, and
yeah,
you know, so it was cool.
Greatest Night in Pop, it's on Netflix if you want to watch it, and if you are from the 80s as Debbie and I are, it hits home. I just was so annoyed by that song in real time.
Oh, see, I really liked it. I loved the video.
I just thought it was the cause was fun. I mean, it wasn't that. It was just sort of like, it just felt so forced to me, and like, so like none of these parts really mixed. And it, like, I'm talking about when it was released.
Right.
Now, you know, the whole thing, Do They Know It's Christmas? I always felt jealous because I felt like they did it better than we did in this whole arena as far as the songs were concerned. And then, of course, Live Aid comes out of all that, and which is like one of the biggest television experiences, you know, up until that point in my life, because they were literally broadcasting on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of television stations all over the world, two different continents, you know. So there was a lot of crazy stuff. And then there's even, you know, the whole thing about what happened to a lot of the food and the corruption and everything else. I mean, the whole story is very complicated.
Yes.
But that documentary about that night is highly entertaining.
It really was. And, you know, Lionel Richie talking about, you know, Stevie Wonder and, you know,
his Michael Jackson stories.
Yes. And then poor Bob Dylan. He was just like so out of place. And I mean, it was, he looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah. But he was, and your guy wasn't, you know, because he would have been too uncomfortable.
Right.
And Bob Dylan, to me, the interesting thing was who was looking at Bob Geldof and taking the message when Bob Geldof was telling them why they were there doing what they were doing. And Bob Dylan seemed to be, of the people there, the one who was probably there for the
right, yeah.
Around a bunch of superficial people.
Yeah.
And by the way, he didn't look anything like Timothy Chalamet in the documentary, just saying. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I would
agree. Nick and I were just talking.
Yeah, I was listening to that.
So, but it is high. It's worth literally Lionel just describing Michael Jackson's house and Bubbles and the snake and everything else.
And him imitating
Michael,
you know,
his, and what Michael called Lionel.
Yeah.
Lionel.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
It's a fascinating look. And I like Huey Lewis.
Yeah, and you know how he got his part, you know, that he wasn't even supposed to have, and it was
his
just
solo
really cool.
Was Prince's solo.
Yeah.
Worth watching if you haven't seen it. It's entertaining. All right, what's going on in your world?
We're busy. It's kind of crazy right now, and we're in the middle of our investment process, and we just got done with youth education. We have a couple more lines of effort to go throughout the spring. Adult employability is next. Programs that help keep people working, help those types of things. And we're still looking for volunteers. If anybody wants to volunteer, you can give us a call. Typically, it's, you know, donors come in and do this. We really love for our donors to be a part of this. It's their money. It's, you know, the community's money. You know, they should be the ones making the decisions. And so we've just had some great volunteers come in. It's a little more difficult than your typical volunteer opportunity because it's all day. It's a full day, which is different than in the past where it was like a whole week for each line of effort. So we've really, you know, compacted it. But also there's some tough decisions to be made. I mean, it's, you know, you go into it wanting to give, you know, everybody something, and that's just not, you know, that's just not how it works. I mean, you really have to look at the outcomes and what they're doing and their impact on the community. And then, you know, there's never enough money to go around. They always, you know, we always, the requests are, double, triple, sometimes quadruple the amount of money that we have to be able to invest.
You know, there's probably never enough money.
Right, right.
And yet there's probably always a better way to spend what you have and smarter about that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say because you don't, no one likes to say no, or no one likes right. to, I mean, that's just human nature. But I think you've made it easier on people to do that by saying, look, we're going to reward what works. You know,
exactly.
Why not invest in what we know is predictable? Because right. that's the quickest way to work ourselves out of a job.
Yep. It really is. And I mean, if we didn't do that, then we could just do it ourselves and split everything equally. You know, I mean, there wouldn't be a reason to go through this whole process. But that's why it's so important to really look at what's happening and to see what outcomes they do have and what those look like and the impact. It's not about number served, because we can talk about that all day. But what's happening to the clients that you have, and is it moving them towards self-sufficiency? Even looking at, you know, all the things that are included in that,
right.
from birth, you know, until, and you know, end of life.
Okay, so is it fair to ask a question? I mean, are there programs that maybe just can't show you those outcomes, but we also don't know what it would look like if they weren't there?
There are. I mean, there's quite a few programs that it's really hard to measure. You know, things like counseling. You know, what does that, how do you measure the impact of that? And
right.
so there's other ways to do that. And, you know, we've really worked with the agencies, to help them with their why.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are, they're doing, you know, what their mission is, and they're doing this, but when you really dig deep and look, why are we doing this? That's where your outcome is.
I will put this in terms in our business, right? Let's just say advertising. And the hardest thing to talk to someone about is, you know, well, you ended the year, you know, 20% off what you were last year. Mm-hmm. But if you hadn't done what you did, it could have been 40% off.
Right.
You know, those are hard conversations to understand, but it's factual.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so it's like, if you took this away, even though you can't show the results up front,
right.
what would the results be without it not being there?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And for a lot of our organizations, you know, part of measuring the outcome is, you know, we said, you know, 75% of our clients were going to have do this, and this is their outcome. And, you know, they come back and say, well, we didn't have 75, we only had 70. That's 100% okay. We know, you know.
So you don't have to be so stringent with it. It's got to be, I mean, there's flexibility
right.
to be
absolutely.
Able.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we know that 70% of their clients, it worked.
Right.
And, you know, we know not everything's going to be 100% success, and people
Nothing's
are
gonna going
drop
to
drop out of programs and, you know, all of these things. So it's not, you know, that cut and dry, and it's, you know, it's very flexible. And we work with each agency that wants us to help them with their presentation. We've done this for a long time, and we kind of know what the volunteers are going to be looking for, the typical questions that they ask, so we can help. Not everybody that's, you know, in the nonprofit world is necessarily a, you know, a speaker and can come in and do a great presentation. And so we try to really train our volunteers. It's not about the presentation. It's not about, you know, all of these things, or it's really about the outcome and the impact that they're making on the community.
All right. Good stuff. What's it look like? Where do you do it?
We do it in our office. We don't do the site visits anymore. That kind of went away with COVID, and found that, you know, the volunteers learn just as much. We want them to learn as well what's happening in our community and what that looks like. So it's coming in for a day. You get to hear presentations. You'll get the applications ahead of time that have what their program is, who they're serving, what their outcomes are, their budget. We help the agencies make sure that their budget, you know, looks presentable. And if there's questions on it, we'll ask those questions ahead of time, because we know the volunteers will surprise you. They will dig deep on these budgets.
Right. They're taking it serious.
They are. And so we will help the agencies. Well, our agency comes in and is able to present their program and their outcomes in the best possible light, and so that it's a fair assessment when volunteers come in and they're not looking at an application that has misspelled words or they can't understand what it says. So we will work really hard. I read every single application. James reads every single application. And we want them to come in and be the best. Our goal is to fund and invest in some amazing programs in our community. Our goal is not to find things and not fund things. It is really to, what is the best way to move our community forward?
All right. Sounds great. Let's take a break when we get back here. I just saw something, a headline that quite frankly stunned me. But then it also made me like sort of very happy. When I was a kid, there was something called Life Magazine, and it was full of unbelievable photography. And when you're a little kid, you remember like just imagining about the world?
Yeah.
You know, like, and Life Magazine, you know, later probably National Geographic and other things, but Life Magazine was that portal.
Yeah.
They're bringing it back. 20 years after it shuttered its doors, there's an American supermodel and her husband that are going to bring Life Magazine back to life.
Interesting. Like an actual magazine.
I literally just saw the headline and am skimming through the story. I didn't even know who Carly Kloss was. Do you know the name off the top of your head?
No, not at all.
This is evidently a thing as of 1 hour ago, at least as far as I can source out the news stories about it. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more right after this.
Point Bank is invested in Central Illinois for the long haul, for every customer, for every community, for a strong future. They know that through charitable donations and volunteer efforts, local charities and nonprofit organizations can have a positive impact on individuals in need and improve opportunities for people in the communities we call home. At Hickory Point Bank, investing is who they are, what they are, and why they are. HPB in Action is about colleagues shaping their neighborhoods and engaging with their neighbors through community giving and community action. They realize that with collective efforts, they can make real change happen in the communities in which we all work and live. Each month, Hickory Point Bank will highlight these efforts with Community Invested, a live segment with Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and podcasts available online at nowdecatur.com. Hickory Community Invested, member FDIC.
Isn't it time you start having regular checkups? A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help detect illness early and help you plan for future wellness. Physicians in the Decatur area are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today. A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help you better manage your medications. Having one provider who knows your health can help ensure your meds are working together. Physicians in Decatur are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. Early bird drawing is April 12th and final 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at sttmega.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right, her husband is Jared Kushner's brother. It's such a small world sometimes. The Carly Kloss, the supermodel who's bringing back Life Magazine. And her husband is Josh Kushner, who's the brother of Jared Kushner, who's the son-in-law of former President Trump. They will relaunch the brand as a print magazine with a digital and video presence. And she said that we see life as an uplifting and unifying voice in a chaotic media landscape. While Bedford is a new media company, we are deeply inspired by life's iconic legacy and ability to connect diverse audiences with universal narratives of humanity. So they want to put some good news in the world out there. I think that's kind of smart. Too many people are following the other path,
right?
You know, like who can get to the sewer fastest, that literally maybe a little uplifting, would be a good thing. It just made me excited. And I don't know, like kids today don't have any idea, but Life Magazine was just something so wonderful to open up.
It was a beautiful magazine.
Yeah. Bigger than, you know, like even its format, the size.
Yeah.
And then when you're real little, gigantic, you know, those great big coloring books. All right. I'm excited.
That's interesting.
I'll see if I can subscribe. Get one delivered to my mailbox.
Your mailman's going to be like, what in the world is happening?
Go all in. Well, man, there was a time, and I kid you not, and I am not exaggerating, where I probably had 30 monthly subscriptions.
Oh, yeah.
Did you fill out? It was like there was a Columbia House version for magazines where you'd get like,
yes,
for one penny, you could get like 12 of your favorite magazines.
But I mean, it would be two or three every day in the mail. Yeah. I mean, every single day.
Yeah. Newsweek, Time, all of them.
All of them. Yeah. Sports Illustrated, whatever it might be. GQ, Details, Esquire, Vanity Fair, on and on and on and on. And then the more you'd buy, the more offers you got. And then you'd like, if you didn't stay on like throwing them away or recycling them, they would just like become huge weight problem, big time. Like
breaking all your totes.
Oh, no, I'm saying I was like on the third floor in downtown. That's a lot of weight, yeah, carrying up and down.
Yeah, that's not safe.
Yeah.
We're saving trees now.
Yeah, but we got room for one. Let me have my Life magazine. I don't want to hear about the trees.
Well, I think Vanity Fair still is in print, right?
GQ's still in print. Yeah. There's more than you think that are still in print, and I think that's just tied based to, like, hey, we still want to be in Walgreens and
airports
and yeah, those kind of things, probably.
I'm trying to think when I go to the grocery store, I don't see...
You don't see the National Enquirer and those kind of things? They're not in the aisle anymore?
No, those things exist. And now they have added these, like... like $20 special edition magazines where it's like, where they'll celebrate somebody that just died.
They've
or a
had
movie
those.
That's out. Yeah. But they're like $20 now.
Yeah. I've got a couple of those that are prints.
Mm-hmm. All right. You and Nick talk.
Yeah. by the way, the playlist today,
mm-hmm,
are songs written by Prince. Because I took some flack yesterday for having a unorganized list, but I had a very specialized one today and hasn't been picked up on.
I didn't pick up on it.
See, I'm kind of mad about it, actually, because I actually did curate a playlist.
I like it.
And I'm not getting the respect I deserve. I timed that when he put his headphones back on.
I can hear the whole thing. Is there anything you'd like along with your wine this morning?
Cheese, if you don't mind, just a little cheese. No, I thought it would be fun. What do you got?
This is, they've always,
the Rat Pack one.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've always done this.
Yeah.
What's
the cost on it? $13.99 back then?
Well, this would have been a while back.
It'll be back by the bar.
$12.99.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that's a solid $19.99 right now.
Absolutely.
That was 2013.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the display until 8/2/13.
And then they throw them all away.
Yeah.
So you go there the day that they throw them away, and sometimes
so
you walk
I have
out for
a
free.
Number of these, whether yeah, it's Rolling Stone or Life, mm-hmm, you know, where it's just kind of cool to have, mm-hmm, the commemorative kind
I
of
like
thing
those.
as a keepsake. I happen to have. I just remember this one being up here. This was the Rat Pack, the original Bad Boys, by James Kaplan and the editors of Life, and it's just full of these great black and white photos.
Yeah.
From all the time that was
yeah,
there. And so those, like, I'm $13 in every single time.
I like
time.
Those.
Yeah, absolutely.
New James Bond movie comes
yeah,
out.
Oops. You know how many of these you can buy for that piece of wood for $715,000 at the auction?
The whole print run.
Yeah. Probably by the company.
You can have Life magazine. It can be yours. Instead of the lady that runs, what's she host? Project Runway? Is that who she is?
Who?
Heidi?
No. That's Heidi Klum.
No, I think this... woman took over when Heidi stopped.
Oh, did she?
Oh.
I didn't even know Project Runway was still on,
me
to be
either.
Honest with you. Now that I see her, I recognize
yeah,
her. I just didn't know her name. Yes, she's in 2019 became the host of the reality competition series Project Runway.
Yeah.
And
she's a Victoria's Secret. She's like that cut of that brand. That,
sure.
The big one.
By the way, if you haven't watched that about the original supermodels on Apple, that three-part mm-hmm. series about Cindy and all of them,
yeah.
it's really good. And they are all in it now, and what their life was like then, and you know how different it was, you know, and the empowerment they found in their lives as models, and the whole George Michael video. I mean, all of it's in there. It's really, really good.
That's on Apple.
Apple, and it is. What's fascinating is like, you know, you just think about the life of a supermodel, and they did kind of play into some of the stereotypes, and they admit, you know, they were young and dumb, you know, and did some stupid stuff. One of them, you know, made the comment about not getting out of bed for less than like $50,000 or something, you know, but they were kind of pioneers. Literally, it's called The Supermodels, and it's three parts, I think. The Look, The Fame, and The Power are the names of the three parts of the episodes, but it's Naomi and Christy Turlington and Cindy Crawford and Linda Evangelist. It's those original, you know, they were all in the George Michael video.
Yeah.
And how they got their start. And Cindy Crawford, you know, who was really big in Chicago. I mean, she kind of had her, you know, she had it made, but she decided that she was being manipulated by one guy because he had the control over everything. And so she made the move to New York and became, you know, huge. But their business side and their life side is interesting because you're just, you know, whether or not you know it, you kind of just say, well, yeah, they were really nice looking. So they made a lot of money for being pretty.
Another show for my list.
There you go. See, we're just here to provide that entertainment now for you.
Apple, if you don't get to watch a whole lot where you're taking it straight from the faucet, Apple's a good value. But if you watch like everything as it comes out, Apple has not a whole lot. They don't put a whole lot out there. But if you've
There's been more, though.
A little more
than
usual.
And let me tell you this. Do we need a break or no?
No.
Okay. Michael Douglas is playing Benjamin Franklin in a new series about the whole trip to France to change the whole Revolutionary War. And can you imagine thinking that, like back when he was running around the jungle with Kathleen, you know, that he would be old enough someday to play Benjamin Franklin and actually sort of look like him? There's that. There's the new Sugar, which is the private investigator show with Colin Farrell.
Yes.
There's the one about Lincoln's assassination, the hunt for the guy who murdered Lincoln, which is really,
John
really
Wilkes
good.
Booth.
So they're picking it up. And I would have agreed completely with what you just said 6 months ago.
Yeah, they are. It seems like they're ramping it up for sure.
And maybe they were nimble enough after the strikes, you know, and all that to be able to kind of get some of this stuff into production. If you look at just like what's in the queue coming, there's quite a bit. Yeah, and they've got the Masters of the Air, which is the Tom Hanks.
You'd think with a $1 trillion company can get some stuff done if they want to.
I'm not going to give them over credit. I'm just saying I feel like I'm getting more for my bang than I was before.
Yeah, I forget about Apple TV, like, you know, that, and every once in a while I'll go through and kind of look through there, but.
I love the space show that they did for All Mankind, where it reimagined, like, it tells history along with history, but, you know, what if Al Gore had won, or what if Bill Clinton, but it traces, like, from the early days of the of all the names that we know through getting to Mars and, like, all the things and the space race with Russia. It's, like, season after season. It's fantastic.
Weren't they Blackbird also?
Yes.
With Paul Walter Hauser.
Blackbird is the true story of the serial killer over by Vermilion County, right? That happened in Indiana and Illinois with Terrence Egerton?
Egerton,
yeah.
And Paul Walter Hauser.
Yes. That's a great show. Blackbird, yes. There was a serial killer. Is it Greg? Who was the guy who plays the law enforcement guy?
Kinnear?
Yes, used to do the whatever. But that really happened, like, you know, not all that far from here. And it tells that story, and it's a true story. Crazy. I think if you saw it, you wouldn't believe it was based on a real story, but it is.
As well done.
Tetris, too, I think. Didn't they do that?
Yep.
About the making of the game.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.